got Irv Puckett on the line again.
Hi.
And Irv and I are doing our Ephesians Bible study. And the other day we opened up with reading a psalm, but we went to Ephesians 1, correct?
Yep.
And so in a nutshell, what did you learn?
Remind me what we went through there.
Okay, remember, we looked, the very first sentence is about Paul being an apostle.
Paul, apostle of Christ.
And by the will of God. Yep.
By the great, you know, saying through the Ephesians. And the okay, yeah, it's the will of God. I mean, we learned through the will of God.
Right, and to recap it, we learned about being, that's our call too, is to be apostles and disciples.
And
now we're not talking about apostles like they were apostles.
Yeah.
We're talking about apostles who go out and make disciples.
Now I remember what the chapter was. Now I remember. Yeah. If I can remember right, I was confused and you reiterated what the difference between apostles and disciples.
Exactly.
Because I was wondering what the difference was, and you explained it to me.
Right. So if everybody wants to, they can go to BibleStudyCompany.com. And what's interesting is Irv has a regular Bible with him. So I'm logging into Bible Study Company right now.
Okay. The next Bible study, I'll have my other computer. I can get in there with that.
Okay.
But today we're just going to go, I'm just going to go through my regular Bible.
Okay. So, so the other thing that we learned in this is that the apostles of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and then to the saints who are at Ephesus and who are faithful in Christ Jesus. Isn't that interesting?
Yes.
So our mission is to be obedient to the will of God. That's what we talked about. And to be faithful in Christ Jesus. So then the question becomes, as we ask the Lord, what these words mean. Remember, we ask God questions. We don't question God.
Yeah.
We just ask him, what do you mean by faithful? And so the word faithful is a Greek word, pistoi.
Okay, I remember you saying that.
So anyway, so when you're full of faith, you're one who is being obedient to God's word. Because remember, Paul was called as an apostle directly by Christ, and we know his dramatic testimony of being confronted by Christ. And so he got in the harness with God's will and stopped his persecution, but he had a lot to learn from there.
Yeah.
And so so the thing is that he's now taken what he's learned, and now he's going out and he's making disciples. And so he's sending it to a group of people who want to stay faithful. They themselves are answering the call, like we need to answer the call. Right.
Like us, they are answering. They have Paul to tell them what is going on, and by faith, they are trusting in him.
Well, yeah, and in particular, he's working with Jewish people, albeit a minority, because a great deal of them rejected Christ.
Yeah.
And the second thing is the Gentiles were glomming onto this, because I think they were, you and I talked about this, but they were tired of the paganism and the culture and not working and not having an impact in their life. These gods that are so-called gods, they were foolish, the myths around them and the whole thing. But our God was a real person who died, who took our sins away, and then gave us the power to change.
Yeah.
So those are the people who are faithful. So every single person in those in the discussion is answering God's call to come and be faithful to him.
Now, they didn't have the New Testament at that time. Everyone was still writing it. They just had faith in Jesus.
Right. And what's really interesting about this is few people had any Bibles whatsoever. They would have to go to the synagogue and hear Moses and the prophets read from a great big huge scroll. And the problem with that is the rabbis and the teachers were the ones giving them information. Does that sound a lot like today?
Yeah, it does. What gets me is these same people that were preaching in the synagogues did not believe in Christ. They believed in the Old Testament, correct?
Right. But let's say they were all believers.
Yeah.
Okay. And so, you're right. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have broken your thought. Go ahead and say what you were going to say.
Well, that was it. They didn't have the New Testament to go on to believe. They didn't have the faith that we have because we have the New Testament that helps give us faith.
Exactly. And it tells us the story that we, Jews and Gentiles who believe in Christ, through his blood, we'll see this in chapter 2, but through his blood, he reconciles us and makes peace with God. Yeah. So God doesn't even see our sin anymore. He sees Christ. Now, the second thing that they did, if you were a Jewish person, you had all these laws that you had to keep and ceremonial laws, and nobody could keep them. No matter how much you tried, you couldn't keep them. But you honored God by giving it a good shot. But when Christ died, he, through his flesh, stopped all the need for that.
Yeah.
So now he then takes us and drops his Holy Spirit in us, which they didn't have in the Old Testament. This was all brand new to Jewish people. Well, the Gentiles really grabbed a hold of this.
Yeah.
What happened is that all the people who sat in the pews, whether they were Jew or in the Gentiles, we don't know what kind of church experience they had in the temples, but there was pretty much debauchery. So it was party time. Kind of sounds like America, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But anyway, the biggest thing we could take from a lesson is that all of them, from Paul to us, have to respond to the call, and we have to be those who want to learn God's words to live praiseworthy to him.
Yeah. So I was, like I said, I was looking through Psalms yesterday or whatever, and I hit to Psalms 32. It actually says that, it really got to me what it says, blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven. Whose sins is covered. Now, this is the Old Testament right here. They didn't have Jesus Christ to be his blood for their sins yet. How did this happen? How did they get forgiven? That's one, their faith. Do you understand what I'm trying to ask?
Mm-hmm. I do.
So how were they saved through their transgressions were forgiven already? They didn't have Jesus Christ.
Their transgressions were forgiven or not forgiven?
Whose transgressions is forgiven.
Yeah, how did they get forgiven?
That's what I want to know.
Oh, well, what happened to Adam and Eve when they were in the garden?
Well, they had sinned, they had free will.
They what?
And they sinned. They had free will and they were sinned. They sinned. Yeah,
they had one law to keep and they didn't keep it. They chose their own will.
Yeah.
So, yep. And so God made us to be servants of his. So what did God do to fix that so that they didn't die?
I don't know.
How did, if they were naked, what did they what did they wear after that?
Loincloths. I mean, they hurried up and they were never ashamed of their bodies until they sinned.
Right.
And then they've done leaves to cover themselves, anything to cover themselves, because they were shameful then.
Perfect. What did God do though? Because that was the first religious act, was to do, to cover themselves and hide themselves from God.
Yeah. Well, he gave them free will.
Well, he did do that, but what did he do? What kind of dress did he give them?
I don't know if I've ever read that.
Animal skins.
Well, yeah, cloths.
Well, actually, animal skins.
Well, animal skins. You're right.
So that those animals had to die to cover them.
Yeah.
So God's communication to us, and later on in scripture, it says the soul that sinneth shall die. So the life is in the blood, right?
Okay.
So in Exodus 29, when the priests are being installed in the sanctuary, and the sanctuary was supposed to be in the middle of Israel, and if you look at a map and if you flew a drone above them, the tabernacle would be in the middle, and all the tribes, and Judah was the biggest, would be around it, and they'd be in these camps. And if you look down from this drone, it looked like a cross.
Oh, okay.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah, it is.
All right. So we don't get too far off. In Exodus 29, the Lord said, I want you to take a lamb in the morning and a lamb in the evening, and I want you to slay this lamb. Now, nothing is said after that about it. And so what we can take from that is that God sacrificed a lamb every morning and used the blood for all of us who want to be in right relationship with Christ. This is a picture of Christ. They put their sin on that lamb.
So I get it. I understand it now. I think I've read that several times.
So again, by faith, they put their sins on the lamb.
Yeah, so, and the blood of the lamb is like the blood of Jesus.
And the same thing with the Exodus, when they put the blood on the doorposts of the Passover lamb, all of it is pointing to Christ.
Yeah.
Now, when I asked the question for Baruch, what does Judaism think of these two little lambs? And it took him a while to get back to me, but what the Lord revealed to us in this study is anybody that wanted to be close to God would A, live close to him around the sanctuary, and B, that's where they would put their camp in their clans, but B, every morning and every night we could turn towards the temple or the sanctuary. Later it was a temple, but we could put our sins by faith on him every day. So in reality, we didn't have to sacrifice any lamb at all.
Yeah, well, we don't. In the Old Testament, they had to sacrifice an animal.
They did do that, but the priests did that. But the thing is that all the people could look to the lamb being slain and say, that lamb is taking my place. I, by faith, take the blood of that lamb. And Lord, please have it cover me, my sin, please.
Mm-hmm. So in other words, the head honcho of the group slayed one lamb and that blood was spread for all of them, right?
Yeah. I mean, they didn't take it out and spray it on them. By faith. And then in the evening, they did the same thing.
A lot of lambs.
That's a lot of lambs. Yep.
Yeah.
And they were grown. Those lambs were grown outside of a town called Bethlehem.
Yeah. So that's just where. Yeah. Gotcha.
And you know what Bethlehem means? House of bread.
Oh, is that what it?
Yep.
What it means? I did not know that.
Yep. So the
lambs were were brought, they were raised just for slaughter, more
yep.
or less.
Yep.
Okay. Gotcha.
And that's the interesting thing with the shepherds at Christmas time, because, or some people think it was Christmas, some people don't, doesn't really matter.
Mm-hmm.
The point is that the Lord said to them, in a manger is the Messiah. And what did those three shepherds do? They immediately got up and headed to Bethlehem.
Yeah.
And that tells you that they were looking and had a heart to be obedient to God.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because our job, just like in Ephesians 1, is to respond to the call of God in our lives.
Yeah.
So it's important for us to be always ready and always willing to respond to God and his call in our lives.
Okay.
You see that? Isn't that cool what God's doing? He's giving all these pictures and symbols for us to follow because in Hebrews it says that the Old Testament are types and shadows of what was to come.
Yeah, isn't it great how we don't have to worry about our sins anymore? That we don't have to say, I have to sacrifice a lamb because of my sins, because our lamb has already been sacrificed for us.
Exactly. And if you remember in the Gospels, there's a scenario where the tax collector was in there and he was beating his breast saying, yeah, Lord, please forgive me. And the Pharisee was standing next to him saying, I'm glad I'm not like that guy, that sinner next to me. But my guess is, I don't have any proof, but they were both there together doing it at the same time. My guess is that they were turning towards the temple and they were turning towards that sacrifice.
Yeah.
And one was placing his sin on the lamb for that day and then would do it in the evening again. Now, it's interesting that Daniel prayed three times towards Jerusalem, even though the temple was destroyed. So by faith, he was doing the same thing. That lamb should have been slain there, but he was in captivity. So he put his sin on Christ. And that's really the gospel, is the judge of the universe has come down, born like we are under the law, so that he could fulfill the law, because he needed but Adam was completely sinless and chose to sin.
Yeah.
Christ was completely sinless, but chose to do the will of God. So he fixed sin and death.
He fixed what Adam started.
And by what God could have done is made another sinless man, but all that would have done was fixed Adam's sin.
Yeah.
What he did, though, is he himself came, and because he's God, he could forgive all future sins and all past sins, including
and present. And present.
And through his body, according to what Paul's saying, it ended the us having to do any kind of law works. Now we can walk in the Spirit, as we're going to see in Ephesians. We can choose to say, Lord, there's a whole bunch of rules out there, but you know what? I've got anger. I've got lust. I lie. I do all these things. You are invited now by your Spirit who lives in me, because they didn't have the ability to have the Spirit.
Yeah.
So you, by having the Spirit within me now and your word open, our Bible open, we can say, Lord, please reveal to us our sin so that we can learn to walk in the Spirit and not sin against you.
That's what I pray every morning.
Yep. And you have, what's really interesting about this, and I don't know if anybody's heard your story before, but most people don't realize this about you. From the very beginning of last year, almost 1 year, you prayed all the time, Lord, please fill me with your Spirit. Please fill me with your Spirit. Now, it took me a while. I didn't say anything to you, but I wanted to find out. But it dawned on me one day why. And why was that? That when I
so asked that I wouldn't sin against him.
Yeah.
That I wanted him to fill me with the Holy Spirit. I am filled with the Holy Spirit right now.
Right.
God will come down and say, give me good days and I'll have bad days. But I always lay them on him at the end of the night. And he fills me with the Holy Spirit so that I have remorse if I sin against him. And that's what right. I wanted. And that's what I wanted. I wanted to be shameful for what I did. I wanted to be ashamed of what I did. And that's a good Christian, I think. You have to have a conscience on your sins.
Yep. And we talked about the fear of the Lord is the fear to offend him.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the way we find out how we offend him is we do what?
We pray and we read our Bible. Without the Bible, we would have nothing.
Yeah.
I mean, can you imagine a life without the Bible?
That's honestly. Cool. And the thing is that this is the thing that Mary and I found out is we were sitting in the pews all the time and mm-hmm. we didn't know how to study the Bible. Until we ran into Dr. Baruch Corman of Love Israel and watching his videos, he showed us how to study. Then we started to study, which is what you've been doing and me for the last year together.
Yeah. I am learning every day.
You need to get better, though.
Yeah, I do.
I'm pointing at me, see?
You looked at me.
but it bounced back, see?
Yeah, we both need to get better at it.
Yeah.
And that's no joke. You always strive to get better.
I know. And what was that thing we used to say as kids? You could say something and it stuck like glue.
Yeah.
But whose army, mister?
Yeah. Sticks and stones.
Yeah.
You know, it's all about that. But okay, let's go through chapter 2. I'm sorry I can't read today, but
you mean verse 2.
Or verse 2.
Yep, we're only on verse 2 of Ephesians 1.
Oh, really?
Yes.
We went through Ephesians Monday.
I know, and we only got to verse 1.
Oh, okay.
To see how the
Bible be the God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who's blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heaven. Yeah, okay.
Okay.
Verse 1 to the same. Okay, go ahead.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, you know what? We forgot to pray. What in the heck do you think we're doing here?
I don't know. We didn't do our Psalms either.
Yeah, let's do our Psalm quick.
Okay, let's do that. Let's go on 32, like I was talking about.
You got your Psalm?
I do. I'm open already.
Okay, I'll have to get there. So start.
Okay. Blessed is the one whose transgression's forgiven, whose sins is covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. For when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through the groaning all day long. Okay, go ahead.
For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was drained away as with the fever heat of summer. And Lord, you know what's really amazing about this is this verse really shows us how running away from you and choosing to do our own will causes your heavy hand to come on us. And one of the ways that we find out that we're in your love is the fact that your heavy hand does come on us. And Lord, if the heavy hand is on us, sometimes we can get bitter and we can get angry at you, but we don't choose to do that. We choose to worship you in the middle of all of it. But Lord, we accept your heavy hands that come on us that are to bring us around. And you know what's wonderful about it, Lord, is the fact that Naomi and Ruth, that whole story is about your heavy hand and then them coming back home. And then Naomi had a disciple after that. So I acknowledge my sin to you, and that's what we do right now. This is verse 5. And my iniquity I did not hide. And I said, I will confess my transgression to the Lord, and you forgive the guilt of my sin. And Lord, we know that sin is a type of missing the mark, that we just weren't coming up to the ball plate. But my iniquity is a different story. It means that I chose to want to sin, just like Adam and Eve. But we're not going to hide it. We're going to be totally honest with you. And I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgive the guilt of my sin. But Lord, help us, me and Irv, to be super honest with you about everything. And you're on verse 6, Irv.
Okay. Therefore, let everyone who is godly offer prayer to you at a time when you may be found. Surely in the rest of the great waters, they shall not reach him. Rick, explain that to me.
Okay. So Lord, therefore, let everyone who is godly pray to you in the time when you may be found. And Lord, prior to the Ark of the Covenant, Noah preached and preached and preached and preached that the flood was coming, and everybody rejected him, and multiplied millions of people died. And as soon as the flood came, we can imagine that people were running to the ark and trying to get in. But once the door is closed, which we could say is our mouth, and our last breath is taken, we have no other way to reach you. And so, Lord, it's too late. And that's why when we talk about what we just talked about, me and Irv right now, by faith, place our sin on Christ, knowing that you've forgiven us and we come under your blood. And we thank you that through your flesh, we don't have to work or perform for you anymore. We just need to find your word and obey that. So please teach us how to do that. And you are my hiding place. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with songs of deliverance. And Lord, this has been ultra true during some of the tough times. We ask you to do that for our brothers and sisters in Afghanistan who are under severe threat. And the anxiety and fear of death must be just gigantic. And Lord, you can reach down there and help them. And we just ask you to do that in your name. And I will instruct you and teach you in the way which you should go, and I counsel with my eye upon you. Lord, this is an amazing psalm right here, because right now you're speaking to us in a prophetic utterance, the way that some people would call prophecy, but this is actually your word. You promise us that you will instruct us and you will teach us the way in which you should go, and you'll counsel us with my eye upon you. We want your eye on us. Yes, that's why we're in front of you with your word. Do not be as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding. Please, Lord, don't be like Irv. Please don't be like Rick, whose trappings include bit and bridle and hold them in check, like Rick is always done. Otherwise, they will not come near you. Pretty powerful stuff there, Mr.
It is.
All right, you got the last two.
Okay. Many are the sorrows of the wicked, but steadfast love surrounds one who turns to the Lord. And Lord, thank you so much for giving us the opportunity to turn toward you and not to hide in our sin. But be glad in the Lord, to rejoice, O righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart.
And Lord, please help us, me and Irv, to be upright in heart. Yeah. Help us to want your will. Help us to choose your will. And so the only thing we can offer you after your fantastic sacrifice for us, it's beyond our recognition, is we drop our hearts and our will at your feet. Yeah. I don't know really how to drop my will, but what I can do is drop my whole being there so that I can learn from you how to be obedient to your will through your word.
Amen.
Okay, so Lord, please open up the word. So we're on we're on Ephesians 1, verse 2.
Oh. Grace to you and the peace from God, our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ.
So what questions do you have here? Because it's grace to you and peace from God, our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ.
I have no questions. I mean, it's just wonderful that through our sins, God graces us with peace and love. I mean, go ahead.
Well, that's okay. Paul tells us that in Titus 2, 11 and 12, it's one of my favorite verses ever. It says, the grace of God has come, and we know that to be Jesus Christ. Yeah. And the Holy Spirit teaches us away from ungodliness. So when we see grace, we realize that he did not have to do and come and save us. He did not have to do it.
No.
Right. So we know that we've been given a gift of grace. And so that's why Paul's saying, grace to you. The gift of God through Christ Jesus is here. And now we have peace from God. And this is the thing. We didn't make peace with God. God made peace for us.
You know, I was just going to say, isn't it wonderful how he put this? Grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes. And one of the interesting things about that is the Jewish believers would consider Abraham their father. And so when Jesus said, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, that would have really upset the Jewish people, because now he's putting himself on par with God the Father.
Yeah.
But here Paul is doing it, saying we are all as a Gentile and part of the nations who were afar off, and Paul's going to talk about that. He's our Father, and he's given us peace and the Lord Jesus Christ. And I love how he says Lord Jesus Christ, because what it means is he's God and he's the Messiah.
And he's the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right. And Jesus means one who saves.
Yeah.
So
can I ask you, we consider God and Jesus are the same. Now, God impregnated Mary through himself. That makes Jesus his son and himself. Do you understand?
Correct.
What I mean?
Yep.
So,
you're getting it. Go ahead.
I understood that the other day. I don't know what I was reading or anything else, but I've always been troubled with people saying the Son of God, which he is by impregnation of Mary, but he gave himself, part of himself, to so Jesus could be human and be man.
Right.
So, yeah.
He's still the omnipresent God. He's still the omniscient God. And he limited himself to man's form, but not really, because he holds, like Paul said, he holds all things together.
Yeah.
There's nothing that's seen or made or nothing in the heavenly realms or anything, which we're going to see coming up.
Hey, Rick, can you hang on for just a minute? I got to turn my light on. Ready.
Okay, so we know that he's omniscient and he's omnipresent. He's the God of the universe holding everything together. And he came as a man so that he could be under the law and then finish out the law as well. So he fulfilled the law and our sin debt to God. Isn't that fantastic?
It is. It is. Yeah. You know, the next verse 3 is pretty much reiterating what we were saying. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly place in Christ.
Yeah, now let's hang on to that for a second, but I want, you didn't pick up on something, which I was surprised. Okay. You didn't pick up on peace from God. What does that mean?
Well, that means we have peace in ourselves that we're not going to hell, that our sins are forgiven. That is a peace within itself, I think.
Well, I think that's a really good way to look at it. But there's another thing too. What do you think Adam and Eve and the whole human race was at war with God?
In a way, yeah.
Yeah. So in one sense, just like you said, the reason you have peace is because the war's over.
Yeah. Yeah.
Through there Christ.
You go. That's a good thing then. Yeah.
And Paul talks about this too, because he says we need to be reconciled in 2 Corinthians 5. It says we need to be reconciled to God. That's his mission, is that all of us are reconciled. So everyone listening to this, if you want, you might be in severe turmoil, but you can come to peace with God and the war is over. Whatever goes on in your life, that is just going on in your life, but you have eternity for going forward.
Life on earth is fleeting.
Yep. Yeah. So back to your verse, blessed be the God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, who bless us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. So what does that mean?
Well, that means blessed us. No matter where we're at, we're still in God. And we're blessed no matter where we're at and what we do, we're still blessed.
Right. And, you know, I tried to explain this to you when you first started, and you've experienced it too. It's very hard to, when you get in line with God's will, no matter how much you fail, but you are committed to wanting to do his will, yeah. It's like his wings come up underneath you and give you a hand. It's like we were never supposed to live this life without his help, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So here's a picture of what those spiritual blessings are. It's his presence working in our life. And I think that in itself is a blessing. Like, for example, there's things that Mary and I could have never fixed on our own. Like, we could have never fixed our marriage.
Yeah.
People have been fixed. And like you, like we've prayed with you to, and you prayed and you learned to pray in the middle of all that. Yeah. In fact, I prayed for healing for you, and you prayed eventually to whatever time you have
time,
so that you have time to grow in him and do his will, which is preach the gospel.
Yeah. And, you know, during the worst points of my cancer, God was with me through all of it. You know, I was asking for more time, just a little bit more time, so I can be faithful in him and to grow and to learn and to share the gospel. I don't think once I prayed for God to heal me.
Yeah, we did at the very beginning. Because
the
way we prayed, remember, was, Lord, we just beseech you to heal Irv, but whether you do or not, in your sovereignty is your prerogative,
and
we
worship right.
you regardless.
You're right.
But then it changed. Remember, over time it changed. You changed it.
Yeah. Well, I'm looking forward to seeing God now. Before, I was terrified of dying.
Yeah. Well, in the middle of it, when you were really fighting with the cancer, you shared with me one day, and it almost caused me to tear up. It actually did. And it said, Lord, you said, Rick, if I pass away, I know that the Lord will be waiting for me.
Yeah. And he will. You know, my cancer is not over.
Right.
The Lord has given me more the time that I want. They say pancreatic cancer is incurable, but they didn't say when you're going to die of it.
That's right.
And the Lord has given me all this time where everyone else is saying you should be dead by now, even with the COVID. Everyone said you should have died during the COVID when you had COVID.
So let me pose this question to people who are listening and to you. Why would the Lord bless us with spiritual blessings in the heavenly places?
Why? Because we've asked for forgiveness and we acknowledge him.
Right. That's an outcome. But what? Why would he give us spiritual blessings?
Because he loves us.
That's true. But do you think maybe it's, what are we going to do with those spiritual blessings?
Yeah, we're going to share them. To share them. I think, yeah, you're right. That's why he gave us that, is to share them.
And one of the spiritual blessings is the power of the Holy Spirit residing in our lives.
Yeah.
And the Holy Spirit was given, he gives gifts to people, but his main mission is to carry out the will of God on the earth.
Yeah. And well, that's what we're here for. That's right.
And just like Satan can use people that aren't lined up with God's will, so can the Holy Spirit on the opposite side, who's lined up with his will.
I think they're fighting. You know, my good and my bad is fighting to see which one wins. And God is on this side and Satan is on this side.
And your flesh is actually.
And, yeah. And
it's
my flesh is in the middle.
And against the Lord.
Yeah. Yeah. Pretty much.
And then Satan uses what you give into.
Yeah. See, before August 28th of last year, I gave in to sin. I didn't care. You know, I would cuss up a storm. You remember when I first started talking to you, I had a sailor's mouth. But you didn't rebuke me on that. You just let it go. And by time, what did I tell you? These words burn my ears now. You know, I go through that. And when I see someone cussing now, it burns my ears to hear them, you know, talk like that.
Yeah, it hurts.
It does.
When I came back to the Lord, I had a sailor's mouth too. And I went the next day, I just asked him, I said, I can't follow you, so you have to change me.
Yeah.
And he, in just that honest prayer, and that's the whole thing we're talking about, is we need to get honest with God. And we need to not be in rebellion anymore. And we need to just be as honest as we possibly can. So when that ended up happening, I went the next day, I went to swear, and it was like somebody had something over my throat.
Yeah.
And I went, how come I can't swear? And I thought to myself, you know what? That's what grace is. That's the power so that I don't sin against God.
Yeah. You know what? That's a good, I'm glad you brought that up, because that's a good thing, because now it's even to the point of sin. I can't do it because I know it's, you know, I'm not saying I'm perfect, far from it. And yes, I do sin to this day, but I have remorse on it now, which I didn't have before.
Right.
That's God working in me.
Right. And one of the things, yeah, I think it's really important that the audience understand, if they do watch it, if they don't, that's okay too. But the thing is that I think it's really important that they understand that you were in fairly deep despair, saying, I don't have, there's no way I can learn how to preach the gospel get an opportunity. And we did these Bible studies and we watched you grow every single week. And you were like, I am growing. I said, absolutely.
But anyway, Julie has seen it.
Yeah, your wife has seen it. And the other thing is 2 weeks after you said that, you got to share your testimony in a youth prison.
Yeah.
And then
doing that to this day.
Exactly. And then Aaron and Pete did your testimony and it's been seen by thousands of people.
That's nice.
And then what happened to you? Here's a heavenly blessing. You have been blessed by friends and a wonderful church.
Yeah. I have a great church and wonderful friends, and the church family means a lot. It's like you mean a lot to me, because with you, I can learn through church, with my church family.
We're both learning. See, the thing is that when you are new like this, it refreshes me too.
Oh, really?
So that's what we made the rule at the very beginning, that we were learning from each other. All I'm doing is guiding you where I already went and have bloody noses on. And you're guiding me to remind me back what it was like.
Well, you know, you're putting fresh thoughts in my mind where I think what I'm doing with you is reiterating everything to you. You know, you already know all this, but it's becoming fresh in your mind again.
And every time we go into the scripture, I learn something too.
Well, what I learn, you have already learned. You are passing
maybe
on
not.
Your knowledge. You're
maybe
passing
not
on
that
your knowledge.
One day, that one Saturday, you brought up something that was a revelation and it caught all the men off guard.
Oh, yeah, I can't remember what that was. But yes, I do. I kind of. No?
Yeah.
But
so,
yeah.
You're teaching us too, mister.
Well, you know what? These Bible studies mean the world to me. They really do. But go ahead.
Well, I just want to let folks know to be encouraged, because spiritual blessings are always going to be, well, I shouldn't say always, they're going to be centered around doing God's will and blessing others.
Now, if anyone gets anything out of these Bible studies, we're doing our job.
Yep. And so here's the thing. Verse 4, Ephesians 1:4, is a really big verse in Christianity. And I think what we should do is, I think we should end tonight. And I think what you should do, because I don't want to tire you out, but secondly, I think you need to go through and pray through that chapter. Everybody that's on this should pray through the chapter, and we'll tackle that verse the next one.
Okay. Now we're having a Bible study. The next one will be tomorrow, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. Maybe we can take that and share it with people then too.
Yeah. Yeah. If they want.
What I'll do is I'll go through chapter 1 tonight and pray on it and read it, and we'll start fresh tomorrow.
Yeah. And if people have questions for me and Irv, just feel free to share them in the chats and stuff like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So let me do this. Would you do us a favor and pray about everybody that's here and have open hearts and stuff?
Yeah. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you so much for giving us the time to learn tonight. Thank you for opening up anyone's home that is watching this. Bless their hearts and give them the knowledge to understand what we were talking about today. Thank you so much for giving everyone having everyone give our time, their time to us to help. We pray these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen. So please like and subscribe and share. We really
there
need
you
to
go.
Yep.
I'm not much of a, I can't pray much, but I mean it from the heart, you know.
Well,
that's
our
what
rule,
prayer
right?
Is. Yes.
That's our rule. Our rule is we get really honest with God and we ask God questions. We don't question God.
You know what? I've learned that a lot of people will pray to make it sound good. I pray from the heart. Jesus may not give me the words right away, but he knows what I need.
Yeah.
So that's what's good. You should always pray from the heart.
Well, and everybody, we really appreciate you, me and Irv. So if you have questions, comments, we'd love to hear them. Blessings to everybody.
Take care.